Yep.
Get to work. Good afternoon, everyone. And the City Council will resume our work today. And we expect Commissioner Saltzman shortly. Would you call the roll, please?
Saltzman, Novick?
Here.
Fritz, Fish?
Here.
Hales?
Here. Okay, we have a single item up this afternoon. Would you please read that?
Item 765, accept the Old Town Chinatown five-year action plan and authorize modifications to the system development charge exemption program.
Thank you. Council might recall that about 2 months ago we adopted the Lentz five-year action plan, and we are here now with a similar kind of effort aimed at Old Town Chinatown. Really, in this case as well, based in the community's own hopes and dreams for what they want, and they also want specific action and targeted actions that we can make happen soon. And I think that's very much the spirit behind this work that we're going to hear about from PDC staff and community leaders this afternoon. Coincidentally, we were talking earlier today at the beginning of the council meeting this morning about a piece in the Oregonian today written by Betsy Hammond that talks about how Oregon has experienced one of the nation's most severe increases in people living in areas of concentrated poverty between 2000 and 2010. And we don't know all the particulars of that, how much of it is urban, how much of it is rural, but it's not so much the poverty rate, but the concentration. And one quote from the story kind of stands out. Quote, research shows that living in a community with a concentration of people in poverty adds burdens, particularly to low-income families. People who live in such areas face higher crime rates, poor housing conditions, and fewer job opportunities. Those effects are exacerbated when poor people are clustered in the same neighborhood. That, of course, is one of the conditions in Old Town Chinatown today, and this plan is designed to ameliorate that, not by moving poor people out, but by improving the mixture of the neighborhood by adding more upper and middle income housing. Patrick Quinton, Sarah Harpole are here, followed by community members who've worked on developing this plan. I'm really looking forward to this discussion and to, again, a plan that gets things done in an economy that might support activity that we've been looking for a while, very much like the situation in Lentz, in a very different part of the city where the real common element, I think, is the community working together very effectively to create a plan and working with PDC to figure out ways to put it into reality. So with that, I'll turn it over to Patrick and Sarah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Mayor Hales. Good afternoon, commissioners. We are definitely delighted to be here to present the Old Town Chinatown Action Plan. I think everybody knows the unique and special place that Old Town Chinatown has in the history of the city. It's really where the city started, and it's been the home of many cultural communities, and so it has a special place, and I think in all of our hearts, and this plan really wants to make the most of that neighborhood. That, you know, the neighborhood has been the subject of many plans and revitalization efforts over the years, and I think we all know has received substantial investment over the years, both in the form of investment in social service and affordable housing projects, as well as some very important cultural institutions in our city, like the Lanzhou Chinese Garden, as well as now places like Mercy Corps and OCOM. Despite this significant investment, though, we all recognize that this neighborhood continues to face significant challenges, and Sarah's going to walk through that in our response to it. But I just highlighting kind of what the mayor just said. I don't believe there is a neighborhood that has this set of conditions anywhere else in the city where we have asked a neighborhood to bear the burden of so much of the responsibility for distressed and disadvantaged populations, and yet we have not been able to see the completion of a complete neighborhood. And so this action plan really is designed to create a complete neighborhood. And when we go to different parts of the city, what a complete neighborhood means is very different. And I think the tools that we're trying to bring here are designed to deal with the very specific set of conditions, the high concentration of poverty, the high concentration of institutional uses in this neighborhood to bring about a complete neighborhood. The conversation is probably going to end up talking a lot about the SDC waiver part of this, and I think that's appropriate. But this action plan is a comprehensive effort. It is the result of long conversations with stakeholders and cross-bureau collaboration on this. And so I ask you to view it in its totality. It's not meant to be, are we just waiving a certain SDC for certain outcomes? It really is the combination of all the investments and other efforts that we expect to work together to get to the outcome of a complete neighborhood. So with that, I'll turn it over to Sarah Harpool, who really has been point on this effort to walk you through the action plan.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Sarah Harpool, and I'm a project manager at the Portland Development Commission. The ordinance before you today accepts the Old Town Chinatown 5-year action plan and authorizes modifications to a pilot system development charge exemption pilot program. The goal of the action plan is to create a safe, vibrant, and economically healthy Old Town Chinatown. The focus area for this strategy is shown on the screen. It includes two historic neighborhoods. It encompasses the boundary of the Old Town Chinatown Community Association. And it's the same focus area used by the Bureau of Planning and their West Quadrant focus on the neighborhood as well. As Patrick mentioned, it's a new approach for our investment in Old Town Chinatown. It's intended to be collaborative and comprehensive. It's focused on community development as opposed to large catalytic moves on singular properties. It leverages investment across multiple partners, including PDC and tax increment financing, significant private investment, and a limited expansion of the system development exemption program. In developing the strategy, we first asked ourselves, what are the challenges that are keeping this neighborhood from being the safe, vibrant, healthy neighborhood we desire? We developed four key challenge statements that became the starting point for our strategy. The first was imbalance of uses and identity. The neighborhood has a concentration of several uses. This includes affordable housing stock. It also has a number of entertainment uses. It has a strong collection of significant historic buildings. It also has a lack of other uses. It doesn't have a diverse mix of incomes and residential opportunities. It doesn't have strong retail opportunities. And it doesn't have a strong reputation. It doesn't have a strong vision, a brand, compared to a number of other areas in the city. It's struggling to establish a positive identity. We also discussed a lack of district connectivity, both to the district and within the district. Some of these are being addressed currently with improvements to Burnside and Broadway, but there are nodes of activity within the district that aren't connected. You don't want to walk around within the district. There's the Lancy Chinese Garden, there's the area around Mercy Corps and the University of Oregon, and there's some nodes of activity around 5th and Burnside right now, or 5th and Cooch, but you don't, as a tourist, want to explore the district. This leads to safety and perceptions of safety. There are a higher percentage of crimes in Old Town Chinatown compared to the rest of the city. This includes drug law offenses and assault crimes. And it deters business growth, investment, and tourist activity. The last challenge we addressed was economics of development. The district faces unique challenges due to its historic building stock, the need to invest in seismic upgrades, the small building footprints of existing buildings, and there are not large development opportunities where a singular property owner owns a large parcel for redevelopment. This is further impacted by the low achievable rents in the neighborhood, and development has been slow compared to other areas of the city. When it does occur, it usually requires large investment from the public sector. So when we started this process a year ago, we first convened 14 bureaus across 4 work groups. These work groups focused on seismic upgrades, public safety, city development process, fees and services, and code enforcement around blighted and hazardous buildings. Together, we discussed current tools and brainstormed new carrots and sticks that we could use to change the status quo in Old Town Chinatown. We also had extensive public outreach with a number of community partners, including formal organizations such as the Community Association and convened task force, such as the Portland Business Alliance's Old Town Chinatown Task Force. We also had a Chinese American forum with translation services to reach other partners who might not regularly participate in such opportunities, and had numerous one-on-one meetings. Through all of this outreach, several key themes and priorities arose. The highest priority was public safety and cleanliness and a balanced residential income mix. There was also strong support for preserving the historic buildings and redeveloping the neighborhood in a manner that enhanced and embraced the multicultural heritage. There was also a strong emphasis on district connectivity, circulation, and the need to address a long-term parking solution for the neighborhood. There was also a focus on street-level activation and district management for the neighborhood. Concurrently, stakeholders also had a forum through the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability's West Quadrant process to provide feedback on other items, such as district heights and the desire for design guidelines. These discussions were outside of the scope of the action plan, and which can proceed as the Bureau of Planning and the Bureau of Development Services continue to focus on these efforts. Changes in district heights, design guidelines, or parking policies may ultimately impact how projects in the neighborhood falling under the umbrella of the action plan are ultimately implemented. So this leads us to the action plan itself. This diagram is an illustrative summary of the action plan. We identified three key objectives to address our four original challenge statements. This includes neighborhood investment, business vitality, and district livability. From there, we identified 13 key actions intended to achieve these three objectives, and this represented an integrated approach emphasizing place, tenanting of the place, and management of that place. The first objective speaks to the built environment in Old Town Chinatown and addressed a number of stakeholder priorities, including investing in the rehabilitation of historic buildings and seismic upgrades, acknowledging the community desire for a balanced residential income mix, and providing a long-term parking solution to support the neighborhood. The district is currently underparked, according to a parking study underway, and this will only increase as vacant buildings are reactivated and don't have their own parking supply. There's also recognition that we need to replace the existing parking supply as surface parking lots redevelop. The Portland Housing Bureau also identified parking pipeline projects anticipated over the five-year term of the action plan. The second objective addressed a full spectrum of business vitality initiatives. This includes retail and street activation through a partnership with the Portland Business Alliance, similar to our successful efforts in the downtown retail core. Through the second annual Startup PDX Challenge, we are supporting the entrepreneurship ecosystem, and six startup companies will soon be selected to participate in this program. We've also seen increasing interest in software and technology cluster industries, and we'll work with them and property owners to reactivate currently unoccupiable spaces. And there is a high concentration of educational institutions in Old Town Chinatown, and we desire to partner with them to explore program expansion opportunities. The third objective focuses on how the district is used, perceived, and managed. It calls for city, county, and community partners to work together to identify priority initiatives to address safety concerns. A recent example of this is the reallocation of existing police resources to add walking beats to the district. And it also calls on a collection of actions to combine grant funds with community expertise, involvement, and investment to focus on district culture, history, promotion, and activation. So the action plan recommends a set of resources to ensure successful implementation. PDC's recently adopted fiscal year 14-15 budget includes $19 million earmarked for Old Town Chinatown. The action plan recommends a total of $57 million over the next 5 years. The adopted PDC fiscal year 14-15 budget also includes an allocation of $30,000 from the general fund to provide a matching grant for district manager position, and the action plan recommends funding this position over 3 years for a total of $90,000. And lastly, the action plan recommends the pilot SDC exemption program to encourage moderate income housing. The pilot is recommended to be capped at the earlier of 500 units or 5 years, and this is an estimated value of $7 million.
Sarah, can I just interrupt a second? $7 million, and what would the breakout be bureau by bureau?
$7 million. I have a slide that I can do it. Come back. This map shows the two urban renewal areas within the focus area and PDC's adopted fiscal year 14-15 budget within those two urban renewal areas. P- PDC is introducing several new tools within this coming year. This includes the pilot seismic program to fund building assessments, the community livability grants for the first time in Old Town Chinatown to fund community-initiated projects to support the cultural and historical enhancements in the neighborhood, the retail program, and a district marketing grant. This is in addition to our existing storefront pre-development grants and our loan programs. The other significant tool in the toolkit is the SDC exemption pilot. Currently, the SDC exemption program is limited to 60% median family income, which is $29,160 for a one-person household. The recommended pilot expansion is to increase this to a 100% median family income, which is $48,580 for a one-person household. The program, as I mentioned, is recommended to be limited to 500 units in 5 years, beginning July 1st, 2014. It will be limited to new construction within the Old Town Chinatown focus area, and demonstrated financial need would be required through underwriting conducted by the Portland Development Commission. The affordability requirements would be in place over 10 years, and other elements to be potentially addressed through programmatic administration include desired unit size for the projects and geographic prioritization within the district. The goal of the SCC exemption pilot is to create a more balanced residential mix. In Old Town Chinatown, 72% of households is restricted to less than 60% of median family income. To translate this, a couple working full-time earning minimum wage would earn too much and could only live in one out of every four units in Old Town Chinatown. The 50-unit target was determined by tallying the existing housing stock and determining the number and type of units that would increase the balance and income diversity of the neighborhood, which is a long-held goal of the Old Town Chinatown community. This goal is then to increase the housing serving households earning between, for a single person, $29,160 up to $48,580. So what would success look like if the action plan is implemented? Under the objective of neighborhood investment, we would see 500 new moderate-income housing units, five historic buildings rehabilitated, and a district parking strategy implemented. We would see four annual neighborhood events underway, marketing collateral used to promote the district, and the community livability grant projects implemented. Lastly, we would see five new retail stores successfully opened and 500 new living wage jobs created. This shows the financial impact, to follow up on your question, of the SDC exemption pilot. This shows an estimate of $14,000 per unit. This is slightly over the current fees that are shown, so we have allowed a little bit of allowance for annual increases. For the 500 units, we project this to be approximately $7 million in total. We've also done an estimate of the potential growth of the neighborhood. There was a question that had been raised of whether this was the full potential. So we did an evaluation or modeling of the other existing surface lots, given that this tool is most successful for new development. And it shows the potential collection based on residential development for those bureaus after the waiving of the 500 units.
So questions or questions. Come back after testimony?
Carla, how many people do we have signed up?
We have some invited testimony, and then we have sign-up sheets. So maybe why don't you two stand by. We'll take the invited testimony, and then we'll find out how many we have signed up. Right. That work?
Great. Thank you.
So I know we've got Howard Weiner here from the Old Town Chinatown Community Association, Helen Yang as well, Patrick Gortmaker, Jane DeMarco, and Jesse Burke. If you want to all come up together, just pull up another couple chairs or take it in teams, however you'd like to proceed. Okay, no, Dana's bringing up another chair or two for you. So thank you, Dana. Working outside of his classification again, so.
Big chair.
She's, oh, she's,
okay.
With child.
special consideration.
You're doing this for the sympathy vote, I'd like you to know. My name's Howard Weiner. I chair the Old Town Chinatown Community Association, but for 30 years I've had my business in Old Town Chinatown, and I've been working on the community issues. We all know each other, so I probably don't have to elaborate there. If you don't mind me using first names, Charlie, I just want to thank you on behalf of the community and the association. You've challenged us. And at first I didn't quite get that kind of thinking, to be honest with you. I'm used to just coming and parroting what's been told. But you challenged us in a way that got us to come together. We spent over a year in meetings arguing sometimes. There's lots of different points of view. And holding a public forum and getting even more information before we made our recommendations, which you have, to the PDC. I represent the oldest neighborhood in the city of Portland, the poorest neighborhood in the city of Portland, and the one that needs the most assistance. For decades, well, actually over 100 years, we've been home to Union Gospel Mission, Portland Rescue Mission, as of late, Sisters of the Road. I mentioned Salvation Army, and gosh, they just changed the name. It was the DePaul Center, but you get my point. We've been accepting of all social services. And in the last years, we accepted the Bud Clark Center. And we embrace those social services. But we're looking for equity. We really need to find that balance, and we're not there yet. As we know, we have public safety issues on the streets. There's active drug dealing on any given day, 24/7, that needs to be addressed. We have historic buildings that, if they come down, Steve, you're going to be sitting there with your hat on, standing on a pile of rubble. We need to pay attention to that. We have surface parking lots that are owned by a number of developers that, if given the tools, they will develop, according to at least my discussions with them and sitting at the table. The reason those developers haven't developed is you can develop anywhere else in the city of Portland and get the rents that you can't get in Old Town. It's as simple as that. I'm a beneficiary of that, quite honestly, and have been. But that's what it's going to take. And that, what I'm cutting right to the chase, is the SDC waivers. And I know that's been a contentious issue. I've had my conversations with Amanda. Nick, I haven't talked to, but folks on our community association have, and we're here to convince you, and I hope we're successful with that. The plan really is an all-encompassing plan. It's more than development. It's really bringing the community together, challenging the community to raise the funds, for our own well-being. But it's a plan that, if not implemented, Old Town Chinatown, I believe, will languish over the next 10 to 20 years. And I just want to say I'm thankful to the mayor. I'm thankful to City Council. Others will chime in here, and I don't want to take all the time. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Howard.
Mayor Hales and commissioners, I'm Helen Ying, vice chair of the Old Town Chinatown Community Association, also chair for the Livability Subcommittee. So today I'm here to speak in support of your action to adopt the five-year action plan. And so I'm beginning my testimony with the question, why and why now? We know that the investment for the vitality and creating a balanced and complete neighborhood in Old Town Chinatown is long overdue. Its rich history and prime location are tremendous assets for our city. There is a great momentum of energy converging from all sides and all fronts, working together in concert unlike any time in our history to make this happen. The Old Town Chinatown Community Association Board held its second annual retreat on June 21st, and we developed a great tool to guide our work for the next 5 years, consisting of many crossovers with the PDC's five-year action plan. Over 100 people came out to work on beautifying Old Town Chinatown days. We've had two already, since August of 2013, and we're having another one on August 2nd in just a couple of weeks. And we anticipate another great crowd. So as you know, a year ago in March, we had two charrettes that talked about the plan for Old Town Chinatown. And Lee Fehrenbacher interviewed me from the Daily Journal of Commerce. And I told him at that time that I think all the challenges that Sarah presented in the five-year action plan can be tackled. And what we need is leadership, vision, funding, and people behind the work. And if we get all these things, we can make it happen. And of course, we need your help, the political will from the city to help to make it happen. So we have leadership. We're sitting here in front of you. We have vision. As I said, we've come together, as Howard mentioned, we've worked together to find where we meet, where the commonalities are versus the differences. And so we have people behind the work. So today, I come before you to ask for your support in exercising political will and funding to make Old Town Chinatown a strand of pearls that adorns our city.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Who's next, Patrick?
I am. Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. I appreciate the opportunity to speak in front of you today. I'm with Calvert Company. I'm the co-chair of the Land Use Committee in Old Town Chinatown and have been doing that for almost 18 years. And I have to tell you, this plan is different. This plan is first and foremost a community plan. We have spent over a year working on this together. And it's a plan that has significant investment and asks and risk. And that risk won't be taken just by the city. We can't just have our hands out. That risk will also be taken by the property owners, the stakeholders, the residents, the visitors, everyone. It's worth it. And it's an action plan. You know, while this package addresses short-term issues, you know, of course, we're working on long-term zoning, height, FAR, other regulatory changes, parking, transportation issues. We'll be back in front of you in the fall as part of the West Quadrant, Central City 2035. This plan doesn't solve everything, but it is much needed right now. With our two National Register historic districts with fragile resources that are literally falling to the ground, we need resources today. And by moving forward with this action plan, we get the funding from the PDC. If you recall, in 2008, this was the whole reason we moved 40 acres of the most fragile real estate in Old Town Chinatown into the River District to make sure that we have that funding and continued funding for the successes that we hope to achieve. We haven't reached that tipping point of economic momentum, Mayor, as you alluded to in the beginning. This action plan will get us there. And we need to do other things that we haven't done before. We did affordable housing, and we've done it well, and we've used the Portland Housing Bureau set aside. We will continue to support and preserve the existing affordable housing inventory that we have. We don't want to displace anyone. However, with the opportunities remaining, we are asking, you saw the slide with the SDC waivers. SDC waivers were used to, in fact, build the affordable housing that we got in the early 2000s. It proved extremely effective. We want to use that tool for these 500 units to achieve that diverse income. 65, although the slide shows 72% of the median family income at 60% below, is not sustainable. Using those waivers to achieve that diverse housing will be critical to the neighborhood success. Very critical. So between the continued seismic waivers, the DAWS programs, the new seismic review programs for the PDC, we'll shore up our fragile resources and fragile building. And those historic districts, they can be a true economic driver for the district and for the city. And we have to recognize that. And we have to work on achieving its goals. So as I said, you know, it will take risk by both sides, not just the city and us with our hands out. And I can tell you by the attendance in this gallery today, you have our commitment to the neighborhood success. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. You know, a couple of you have mentioned the seismic and historic building issue, and it's just interesting to reflect on this. We've all watched those buildings literally crumble, seeing the U signs go up in the window, meaning that they're unsafe for firefighters to enter or for people to use portions, at least, of those buildings. And yet, none of them has actually been demolished lately. And if you look at the backlash that was experienced in a couple of recent cases where somebody started to actually demolish a historic structure, you realize, I think, the latent community concern that's out there. If these buildings fall down or are taken down, this council will hear about it. But the only reason that it's fairly quiet is that they've just been sitting there moldering away, to put it kind of harshly, in some cases, and nobody's pushed the button, you know, to blow one up. But and there aren't necessarily folks, maybe there are a few, in a few cases, who would come together and write a really big check to buy the building back from the person who proposed to demolish it, which is what the happy ending turned out to be in the latest case in Northwest. But I think we've got a preview of what the downside of doing nothing would be in that incident that we just watched with the house in Northwest Portland that Rick Michelson and a few others wrote the big check to repurchase. Just a reflection on our recent experience versus where we could be on this issue.
Absolutely, Mayor.
Who's next?
Thank you, Matt. Hello?
Yes, it'll come on in a moment. It takes its time.
It's warming up. There we go. Well, I've got a big voice anyway. I was a school teacher in a previous life. My name is Jane DeMarco. Thank you, gentlemen, for having us here. I'm an Old Town Chinatown Community Association board member, and I'm the executive director of Lansu Chinese Garden. And it's been my honor to work with a host of city and PDC planners, plus neighbors and businesses, for 1.5 years to create this Old Town Chinatown 5-year action plan. And in a previous life, I was the community involvement manager for the Port of Portland. So I know community involvement processes, and this has been magnificent. This cannot be flawed. So thank you to your departments and PDC for their great work. In representing the board and staff of Lansu Garden, as well as in my capacity as a neighborhood board member, I urge you to support this plan for these very few brief reasons. Leading national and international cities are so because they have wisely invested in and developed the sections of their towns that reflect the history and the starting places of their citizens. Visitors to our city, and we listen to them all because we have 130,000 that come to our garden every year, and we do research of our visitors, and we listen to their comments. They have an expectancy of what to find in a Portland that is touted as being a wonderful city for an old town. And they come, and they are disappointed. And often, they are scared. I quote from social media collected regarding people coming to Lansu, the entire Chinatown area is supposed to be a tourist attraction. Portland is obviously not putting any money or thought into restoring it. Healthy neighborhoods worldwide offer a mix and balance of living opportunities. From the slide that Sarah showed you, it has been decided and it has justified itself in being a neighborhood, a living neighborhood of the homeless, non-income, or low-income. I manage a staff of 20 people, the majority of which are very young, who would love to live in Old Town Chinatown. We've got Pacific Northwest College of Art moving in. We've got Oregon College of Oriental Medicine. We've got the University of Oregon. There's a plethora of young people who would give their back teeth if there was an opportunity to live in the hood. And with that mix, that right mix that we know from the other work that's been done in Portland, brings a tremendous amount of energy, which manages the sense of non-safety. People feel safer. We work very closely with all the concierges in town, and we have been told by a couple of concierges, the Benson of one is that they don't send people to Lansu Chinese Garden. They don't send people to Lansu Chinese Garden because if you walk down 3rd Street, if you are a visitor to Portland, or if you're a citizen of Portland, you're coming from Beaverton, you could be the only person that is low to middle income on the street, and it is kind of frightening. We want the mix to change. We need the mix to change. We love the Chinese restaurants that are still there and the stores that are there. They cannot survive unless we've got an influx of new development. So local hotels, as I've said, travel sites, social media, visitors to Portland all suggest to people that they not visit Lanzhou Chinese Garden. And we really have been the anchor store for quite a while. People have come and then they've looked around and they said, well, where shall we eat? And we send people to great places to eat. Where shall we grab a cup of coffee? Go to Floyd's. Where shall we get a cup of tea? Go to the Red Road Tea House. We have done that. We are holding our own, but mainly because our members and our donors are supporting us, not because we are getting the increase in visitors, mm-hmm. because the word is out that the hood is not good. And the hood has not been good for quite a while, and I think what we've heard from all of the other folks here is that we are at a threshold time and we have this opportunity. We asked Sarah, and we had a big meeting to look at SDC funds, because I know that if I were you and I were trying to run a division and I required SDC funds to run my division, I would be squalling about the opportunity to not get SDC funds. But if you look at the minute amount that you presently get from that, it's really small. And there's that adage that you have to spend money to make money. So if you invest in future investment, then the SDC funds will come. And if you take a look back at the Pearl District, 20 years ago, to the funds that you were gathering from that and what you are doing now, you will see a vast difference. And that's just because there has been interesting development. We do not want to be the Pearl. We want to be that area where all kinds of people can mix on the street and get along. But the diversity and the mix is out of whack. This plan is an action plan. It deals with the out of whackness. We ask you to help us get in on this and fix it. We are very excited. We've worked very hard. We are so thankful to the leadership of your staff and the staff of PDC to get us to this point. And we are hoping that you will offer the ultimate leadership by doing two thumbs up all around. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Jesse, welcome.
Hi. My name is Jesse Burke. Hello, Mayor Hales and commissioners. I'm one of the partners of... Hello?
It comes and goes.
Okay. I got the good one. I'm one of the partners of the Society Hotel Project on Northwest 3rd and Davis, and I'm also the newbie board member, so I don't have the history that everyone sitting here with me does. But one of my tasks as one of the newest board members was to rally a group of business owners that was meeting informally and formalize the group as a subcommittee underneath of the community association. In addition to the very active hospitality committee that's been meeting, they serve as a subcommittee under the business group. And having worked in the past with fledgling business associations and groups, the enthusiasm and momentum happening, at least within the business community, is exciting and has been a real driving force for our hotel team with the potential that could be on the horizon. That being said, there are major concerns that our team knows will hinder progress in the neighborhood if a solution isn't found. We recently, the community association, held a community input forum to help inform our recommendations to PDC for the five-year action plan. And neighborhood residents, businesses, property owners, and other vested constituents expressed concern about safety as their primary worry for the neighborhood. As a business owner and property owner, we understand that the perception of safety in the neighborhood in particular has more to do with ratios of the people mixed than it does of needing more police on the street. And what I mean by ratios is that there are a surplus of social service agencies, low-income housing, and homelessness in Old Town Chinatown. And our group totally welcomes these neighbors as part of the community and have, with the exception of a few incidents, had only good experiences with everybody. However, the perception and perhaps reality based on crime rates of the neighborhood and based on the feedback we received is one of an unsafe area, which we believe could be mitigated with a more proportionate mix of income levels working and living in the neighborhood. Our team in particular is paying upwards of $300,000 towards seismic improvements on a 12,000 square foot building and $72,000 towards STC charges, already including the credits we've received. In analyzing the possibilities for this building, we ran the numbers for housing in case the hotel concept was too expensive, and the housing numbers didn't pencil for this type of building, considering all of the fees. As such, I'd like to request that all members of council consider this neighborhood in the larger picture of what's possible with a few temporary changes. We would love the support of council in passing not only the five-year plan, but also the request for SDC waivers to middle-income housing. These waivers are not something that my business nor any other board member's business would benefit from directly. We are asking this for the overall benefit of the neighborhood. We want to see a more diverse mix of folks living and working in Old Town Chinatown. We want to see a better mix of people helping to revitalize what is Portland's most historically significant areas within our city limits. We want to make sure our businesses survive and constituents feel secure, because currently these businesses are struggling. And we want to preserve our historic buildings. We know from experience that one of the major hindrances to the progress in this neighborhood are property owners and their ability to make such a comprehensive project pencil for both their investment and the benefit of Old Town Chinatown. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Commissioner Fish?
So I just want to say at the outset that I am 90% supportive of what you're presenting to council. But this is a very sharp panel, so I'm going to ask you to help me with my problem. And first, I want to ask you a philosophical question, then I'm going to present the problem and ask your advice. So let me start with the philosophical problem. Howard, the value of the SDC exemption that has been proposed as it relates to water, sewer, stormwater is about $3 million. Let's use a general figure. Do you care whether it's in the form of an exemption or if the council were to appropriate $3 million, put it in a fund, and allocate it as an SDC exemption, are you equally okay with that? As long as there's $3 million on the table.
You know, I would defer to Patrick.
Well, either
but,
one.
Patrick, go ahead.
Take the cash.
He's actually going to defer to Patrick.
Yes. Patrick is our want.
Yeah.
But I will answer it, and I'm going to ask Patrick. My answer would be, whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. The same thing I posed to John Russell, to Greg Goodman, to other developers in the room. What is it going to take for you to develop an Old Town Chinatown? I don't care what the tool is. What I care is the results.
So that's the answer I was hoping to hear.
That's correct.
We use a shorthand for that, which is color of money. The money can come out of 100 pockets and pots. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what you want to see is the money available to create the subsidy, which then incentivizes a certain kind of housing. So,
right.
Is that fair?
Absolutely. It's about funding the gap, Commissioner.
So now let me just share with you. I'm going to be very transparent about my problem, because it's probably easy to caricature it. I spent the last year with the mayor defending a ballot measure which was designed to take control of our utilities. You might have heard of it.
I remember that.
Okay, yeah.
The water district fight. What you may not also know is I'm a defendant in a lawsuit saying that our SDC waiver program is unlawful. So that's the second piece of my dilemma. A group of business leaders came in to see me the other day, and they said, we want to sell you on the idea of having ratepayers subsidize development. And I said, well, I'm just going to tell you that I'm a little gun-shy on this because I've spent a year defending a ballot measure, and I'm a defendant in a lawsuit, but tell me your pitch. And they said, through this program, we're going to create a mixed-use community, vitality, economic activity, a more safe community, all the values which you've so well articulated. And so I pose the following question, and this is where I'm asking your help. Why is that a concern of ratepayers? You're asking the city's ratepayers, whose sole concern is with water, sewer, and stormwater services, and they pay a separate bill outside the general fund to subsidize development. And I'm asking this sincerely, because I've had this discussion with a number of my colleagues and with staff. And I've just gone through one of the worst years of my life. And the election is not even certified. And the first big issue we're taking up is we are going to decide on behalf of ratepayers that they're going to subsidize development in Old Town Chinatown for all the good reasons you've articulated. But here's the question I'm going to ask you. Why should the ratepayers subsidize that housing? And if there are other pockets the money can come from and you don't care, shouldn't we explore those other pockets before we get sideways with our ratepayers again? That's my question.
Well, each of us might have a different answer. But my answer would be this, that all the ratepayers in the city of Portland have benefited by the conditions in Old Town Chinatown. But by accepting the social services that we have, the density of social services that no other community has, that this is a bit of a payback. That this community, like no other in the city of Portland, deserves that attention. Now, I know that isn't a direct answer, and if, again, there are other ways, but I don't know how the city council can not vote for these waivers, and then if, in fact, there are changes that are made, then to reconsider. I'm not sure how you go about that, but I don't want to lose the opportunity, the maybe for something that's already a tool that's out there.
You offered a potential path forward for me earlier.
Mm-hmm.
When you and Patrick said, this tool is not the only tool which you would embrace.
No.
What you'd like to see is the resources to create the incentive. Mm-hmm. And what I'm going to respectfully tell you is that I have a series of concerns, some of which I do not want to speak about in an mm-hmm. open public forum, about the consequence of having ratepayers subsidize development. And here's the other piece that makes me different than Steve Novick. My SDCs fund a system we've already built.
Mm-hmm.
His SDCs fund future improvements.
Mm-hmm.
My ratepayers don't care whether we develop Old Town Chinatown.
Mm.
In fact, if you polled my ratepayers, they would say what they'd like to see in Old Town Chinatown is the largest water user in America come locate there. Because if we sold more water, we'd lower everyone's rates. They're agnostic as to whether we put commercial uses, condos, or apartments. I'm not trying to sell you.
I have a comment, but I'll wait.
That the ratepayer view of this is different than the taxpayer view. And so when I asked you at the beginning if you cared where the money came from, I was asking you, for me, the question, not that I am opposed to finding the money.
Yeah.
But that I have extreme heartburn about using the SDC programs of our utilities, and particularly in light of recent history. I would also caution my friends that every time we come up with a new and worthy use of ratepayer dollars or foregone revenue for ratepayers, we're right back in the situation that has caused a lot of headaches around here, because it turns out there were people that didn't think it was appropriate to use ratepayer dollars on voter-owned elections. And yet I'm guessing there was someone in this room who would say that we all have an interest in democracy, and a judge ruled that was illegal. I'm guessing there may be some people in this room who have all kinds of ideas about what's an appropriate expenditure. But on this one, I may be going to err. I'm going to confess that I'm going to err a little bit on the conservative side. And when PDC comes back up, I'm going to ask them, what alternative funding mechanisms can we consider to fund this that doesn't involve the ratepayers?
While the panel ponders your question, Commissioner Fish, let me respond as well. First of all, as a former member of my college debating club, got to react when somebody states a proposition as fact six times, which is that the ratepayers are subsidizing development. Not necessarily so. I mean, for example, in parks, we are sitting on $32 million in the parks SDC fund. $63,000 of that in the last 5 years came from Old Town Chinatown, the equivalent of about one housing unit per mm-hmm. year. So, you know, 10 times zero is still zero. There's very little happening here in terms of development. Secondly, as the guy who co-wrote the state systems development charge legislation with the then Portland lobbyist Marge Gafori, I can tell you that the intent and construction of that statute gives cities broad authority to do public policy as well as have a rational basis for how we charge systems development charges, which is why we have, I believe, a SDC waiver that you support for affordable housing. Mm-hmm. If we're so vulnerable, perhaps we should repeal that until further notice. But I don't think you're going to advocate for that. So, again, we're not collecting very much.
No.
We've collected 1/500th of the available funds in the Parks SDC account from this district, and the other 499/500ths from everywhere else. So there's not much going on. There hasn't been much going on. And what we're hearing from this panel who worked on this plan is we don't think there's much that's going to go on, even in a much better real estate market. So we're foregoing revenue that isn't coming to us.
But you know what, Charlie? In all due respect, I never mentioned Parks. So you are a skilled debater in shifting the subject. I never once mentioned Parks. And as you know, Parks SDC revenues are prospective. Utility revenues for SDCs are retrospective. They're fundamentally different. And here's the difference. Ratepayers don't care whether there's development in Old Town Chinatown. Ratepayers are agnostic on the question of development. Their concern is quality water, quality services, and the sewer and stormwater. If you want to actually look at the subsidy component, then here's how it works. We do a 5-year forecast, and I made this presentation to council not long ago, of SDCs. We project that we will collect them through good times and bad times. We make assumptions. We underperformed during the recession, and we're overperforming now. We hope that we hit sort of a median somewhere along the line. And if we do, we don't have to raise rates to cover the shortfall, because SDCs goes into our rate calculation. Now, if there is development, and I hope there is, and we're not getting an SDC payment from that, then it throws off our 5-year forecast, and it could result in us raising a rate to compensate. It could, which is why for some time now I have said, if it's just a question of the color of money, and I'm going to ask PDC this question because I've identified 5 alternative sources, let's agree on an alternative source that gets the same bang for the buck and keeps the ratepayers out of this discussion.
Right, but how much are we forecasting from this district? We can't be forecasting very much.
And Mayor, as to your point about the low-income discount, which again is not an issue I'm particularly interested in airing in this forum, but you raised it. We have a claim in a lawsuit saying we can't do it. I'm prepared to take the risk on that because I don't think that claim has merit. I didn't think any of the claims in the recent summary judgment motion had merit, and we lost 2. So at least it hangs there as a claim. And I'm not God. I cannot prejudge that. I think there is a hell of an argument under the charter that we can do it. To me, it's less about the legal and the political. To me, it's about the optics. And if there's an alternative way to fund this by keeping ratepayers out of it, all I'm saying is our esteemed panel doesn't care. And I do, because I think it creates unintended consequences for us. And I have a respectful disagreement about the source of the funding. That's all I'm saying. Not about the goals of the plan. And even the concerns I have about middle-income housing, which I'll share later, because we do not have a study that has been completed yet that Dan has asked for to show the market need. Even if there was a market need, I'm willing to do a pilot. Mm-hmm. And by the way, mm-hmm. your entry-level workers and PNCA workers cannot afford the housing we're talking about here today. That said, I'd like to keep the ratepayers out of this conversation.
Well, I'd just like to make a comment that we all like any color of money. And how cities choose to jumpstart development in the interest of its city and its citizens and its future growth is the responsibility of its leadership. PDC and city planners use SDC because that's been traditionally the vehicle to do this. We are not locked in to that, and I encourage you to work with SDC and city planners in alternatives and to look at other buckets of funds. And I think that if I were you and I had had the sort of like burning issues, political issues with my constituency, like you, Commissioner Fish, I would be extremely wary. But I think that I would encourage you not to be partisanly scared, would be the way that I would put it. I think that the plan is so doable and fabulous that there has to be a doable and fabulous way to find the pink money, the puce money, the lime green money. Whatever the money is, I think there is a way. And I don't think that we want to sort of burn bridges and annoy each other by talking about where that source might be. This is what I sort of feel I pay you for, is to sort of like come up with that. You know, you're really smart, and over the years, I've lived here for 39 years, city commissioners have done amazingly wonderful things for terrible neighborhoods. I mean, I was here before, you know, light rail downtown and Pioneer Place. I mean, you've all done wonderful things. And not to be frightened of the fact that, you know, as a citizen, I'm going to get nasty about my water rate. You know, think about it. And you've got such great talent on your staffs. That's what we have discovered in working with them. You know, so if you've got some ideas, work with them. We'll take your lavender money. It's go for it. Yeah.
And this is why we love you. That's why you are held in very high esteem on this panel.
This is the wonderful folks I work with. And Jane amazes me every day. I do have a philosophical response, and really comes all the way back to my time working under Mayor Potter when he chose to push forward a strong mayor proposal. Each of you, commissioners and mayor, are elected citywide. You're not elected as the commissioner of water. You're not elected as the commissioner of PBOT, so forth and so forth. We need our city leaders to look at the big picture and what is doable, really, that you can help us help ourselves. When you get caught up, and you were the commissioner of housing, you weren't talking water. I worked under Eric Sten, and the guy, you know, water was not good for him. It was not good for Randy Leonard. I understand the Water Bureau is a tough cookie, you know, but it is not about the Water Bureau. It is not about the parks. I know the letter that was written by the parks director. Charlie's argument is the argument I would make. That right now you get nothing for nothing. Yeah. If you pass this, either developers will come or they won't. But I believe that this is the best opportunity to give equity to, again, the one community that has been left to its own devices. And that's my pitch. So, I mean, as long as y'all brought it up.
Howard, let me just throw one other curveball at you.
Oh, be my guest. Charlie will defend me.
Because I agree with you. I think the utility should be run by the spirit of how we run the utilities should actually involve more than me. It should be the five, and we do that. At rate making, it's the five. Capital spending, it's the five. So I don't relish the idea of being the one guy in the utility silo. This is an area where actually uniquely it's the five.
Yeah, quite your worst year.
Should PGE and Northwest Natural waive all their fees for this construction for the greater good?
I don't know how to answer that.
Well, I run a utility. I'm a utility. I happen to be a public utility. They're a private utility.
I think the argument is what's already been well made, which is that there are no fees, very little fees that are coming out, and there is very little development that will occur. You also have surface parking lots that pay very little in property tax. They take very little to keep up. They're very profitable, just as they are, but they do not build communities.
And the only last thought I'm going to leave you with, because I'm going to go back to color of money because I'm encouraged by that exchange. Parks and transportation SDCs fund the impact on future infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Utility SDCs fund what we've already built and put into the pot for what's come before. Mm-hmm. My ratepayers don't care whether there's development or not, but my ratepayers want to make sure that when there is development, people pay their fair share back into the system that they are benefiting from.
Well, you're not voting for your ratepayers. 500 units. We're only talking 500 units, and then it's cut off.
I love the optimism. We are up here. The interesting thing is, and I think I've finally cracked the code on the utility debate, and that is people yell at us if they don't think it's an expenditure they approve of and say we're out of our lanes, and they yell at us if they do think it's an expenditure we should pay for. And I'm actually for